Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that the fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the MyLowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more. With volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Asbury Methodist Village and Montgomery County takes senior living to the next level, creating extraordinary opportunities for a fulfilling future. Work your brain and body in our new wellness center. Stroll our expansive campus and 17-acre nature preserve. Stay sharp with our resident-run college and find so many new ways to get involved and make a difference for others. Anticipate more from your retirement. Visit AsburyMethodistVillage.org today. Your future's here. Equal opportunity housing provider.
The following is an actor portrayal.
With Kindly Assisted Living and Memory Care at Asbury Methodist Village in Montgomery County, you can anticipate more. But don't take our word for it.
My dad moved to Kindly and loved it. His apartment was spacious, sunny, and overlooked Parkland. It was a great comfort to me to see him always smiling and involved in the life at Kindly.
Enjoy quality on-site nursing and rehab services, too. Visit Kindly at Asbury.org today. Equal opportunity housing provider.
Welcome to the Fantrax Toolshed. If you love Dynasty Leagues and prospects, you came to the right place because that's what this show is all about. Covering the majors and all levels of the minor leagues to give you the leg up in your Dynasty Leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
All right, Dynasty and prospect fanatics around the world, welcome to the Toolshed. This is episode 45 of the Fantrax Toolshed with Clegg and Cross, powered by Fantrax and FantraxHQ.com. I'm your host, Eric Cross, and with me, as always, from Fantrax HQ, Mr. Chris Clegg. Chris, what's going on, man?
Not too much. I'm in the same location. Eric's recording from a remote location on vacation. So, yeah, kudos to him for stepping in and recording. We tried to record before he went, but hey, he is on vacation and recording, so much dedication from the man himself, Eric Cross.
Yeah, I am in a small town just outside of Philadelphia. I'll just say Philadelphia, but it's a small town just outside, one of the suburbs. Went to a Phillies-Reds game on Sunday. It was a good pitching matchup, Aaron Nola versus Sonny Gray, but it ended up being a not-so-good pitching matchup. They each gave up, like, I don't know, like three or four earned over four or five innings, like what their final lines were, but neither one got a quality start, and the Reds ended up winning 7-4. India had another three hits, including a leadoff bomb. He's just tearing it up lately, but it's been a fun little getaway. But, you know, I'm still doing a little bit of baseball work here and there. I've been brought my laptop, my recording equipment, and updating my rankings. I might even put on an article this week just because I've been writing a little bit here and there while I have some free time. But always fun recording this podcast, so we want to make sure to get it in this week, even if we are a day later than usual. We got a great episode in store for everybody today. You know, last week we did a lot of dynasty risers and fallers as we, you know, it's past midseason, but still kind of in the heart of the season here. So we're going to do the same thing with prospects, guys that have kind of jumped up or down our rankings over the last month or two. So we haven't done this kind of episode since probably like June or so. We figured it was a good time to do another one. But before we get into that, the usual housekeeping here. You can find us on Twitter. Chris is at RotoClegg. I am at EricCross04. And our show is at Fantrax Toolshed. If you enjoy our podcast, please rate and review on iTunes or wherever you're listening. And check out our Patreon for extra written content from both of us, bonus podcasts, private Discord access, access to our live prospect and dynasty rankings, and so much more. These perks are available across four different tiers starting at $5. Or if you just want to thank and support Chris and I, you can do so for $1 a month. Sign up today at patreon.com/FantraxToolshed. And of course, check out all the other great written and audio work we have on the network, including our other podcasts, SB Streamer and Fantasy Hockey Life. But all right, let's get into this week's episode, Chris. We'll start with some news and notes as we always do, starting with the Cincinnati Reds, who I just saw less than 24 hours ago. It was reported today on Monday that Jesse Winker is going to the IL and Jose Barrero was recalled from AAA. And Barrero was having a very good season at AAA, kind of having a resurgence after a down 2020 year, or at least more so when he came up. It was a very lackluster debut, and he hit 194 over 67 at bats with the Reds last year. But in AAA this year, as I mentioned, he was absolutely tearing it up. As my computer is freezing here with the stat. There we go. In 80 games, split between AA and AAA, 303 slash, 378, 532, with 17 home runs, 15 steals in 361 plate appearances, solid walk rate, not striking out too much. So doing basically everything pretty well this year. It's kind of uncertain if he's going to provide much value this year, though. Like, there's no guarantee he's going to play every day. It sounds like it's just going to be as an extra bat, you know, to help out around the infield. We'll see. But, you know, if he does get some regular playing time here, Chris, do you think he could be fantasy relevant here down the stretch?
Yeah, I think definitely so. And he's one I was lower on prior to even being called up last year. He was young. I mean, he's still young, 23 years old, but, you know, debuted last year at 22. We know he struggled. Just never saw the skill set as very polarizing for fantasy. I didn't think there was a lot to really offer. I never saw him as a top 100 fantasy prospect. And, you know, he's kind of proved me wrong this year. He's made some changes and he's been legit. I mean, you mentioned the stats. He's been stellar at AAA. I kind of wonder, there's been a lot of dominant hitters at AAA, so I just kind of wonder to what extent.
Right.
I don't know. We'll see. David Bell's kind of said that he'll be off the bench for the most part. He's going to play some short, some second, some third. He's going to kind of just fill in kind of all over the place. So, but if he does perform, it's hard to imagine him not taking a job. You know, I mean, Suarez has not been good.
Kyle Farmer's kind of been doing well, but I don't think Kyle Farmer's fitting into the long-term plans or anything.
No, not at all. And so I don't know. I could see him earning some playing time. It's hard to imagine him not earning a spot if he does perform. And, you know, I think he could definitely be solid. You know, that's a great hitter's ballpark there in Cincinnati. And shoot, I think he's made tangible improvements this year and hopefully it carries over.
Yeah. And you mentioned, yeah, he was definitely, there's more power shown this year at AAA. Jesse basically split time this year. It was 40 games at each, 181 plate appearances in AAA to 180 in AA. And the slash runs are pretty similar. He hit 300 in AA, 305 in AAA, but the, you know, the power was 11 home runs compared to six. ISO in AAA of 279 compared to 181. So still pretty solid. He was on like a 20-25 pace in AA, a little bit more power. Obviously, he used like a 40 home run pace in AAA. And hey, I don't think he's that type of guy, but I think long term, this could be like a 15-20 type of player, best case scenario, with a solid average. He's shown decent enough contact skills, doesn't really walk at a high clip. I think this year has been one of his better years in terms of a walk rate. He's up in the mid 9% range, usually a little bit lower, like 6-7% in the past. So I don't think he's going to be a huge OBP guy, probably a guy that I don't know if I see him as a top of the order, like a 1-2 guy. I think he's more of like the guy that's 6-7 in the order or so, which with Cincinnati is not too bad. It's like this pretty good lineup up and down the order when they're all healthy, you know, but Winker going on the IL obviously is not great with an intercostal strain. He'll be out for at least a few weeks, it sounds like. But yeah, Barrero, solid bat, but I just don't see it happening this year unless he somehow plays his way into a starting gig. And at that point, maybe deeper leagues, he'll definitely have some value. But for 10, 12 teamers, I think he's kind of just like a wait and see what happens with the playing time type of thing. But that was far from the only notable prospect promotion this week. The only big one to the major league level, but we had plenty more down in the lower levels here of the minor leagues. The four big ones here to AAA this week: Spencer Torkelson and Riley Green for Detroit, Alec Thomas for the Diamondbacks, and Adley Rutschman earlier in the week to Baltimore, which is great, but at the same time, I was hoping to see him. As you're listening to this on Tuesday, I'm actually going to the Bowie Redding game tonight to see Grayson Rodriguez. I was hoping to see Adley Rutschman as well. Obviously, I can't, but it's a very much earned promotion here. Obviously, none of these guys, I think, see the major league level this year. That's kind of the question. Whenever you see someone promoted to AAA, I get questions on Twitter all the time, as I'm sure you do as well, Chris. Like, hey, ETA, are they going to be up this year? I'm like, no, I don't. Detroit's already come out and said that Torkelson and Green are not going to see major league level this year. And I highly doubt Thomas or Rutschman do as well. It makes no sense for any of these organizations to kind of start the clock early when none of these teams are contending. But for 2022, I think we can see – I don't know how quickly Thomas comes up next year. I think he might be the one that's last to come up out of these four. But Tork, Green, Rutschman, all incredibly advanced hitters, can hit for average, can hit for power. Green can add a little bit of speed as well. He's stealing a lot more bases this year than I ever thought he would. So when do you think we see this trio up? I've kind of been saying May, June for the most part, but I think they all could be pretty solid contributors at the major league level as early as, the All-Star break next year. What do you think?
Yeah, and I don't see any of them coming up like opening day. I think there's going to be a service time deal here with all of them, and you're going to see them play that game, especially when you look at a high-profile prospect like Tork and Riley Green. The Tigers aren't like rushing to compete, so I don't see them, wasting a year of service time. So I could see them playing that game with them. I think June's probably reasonable for both Tork and Green. Wouldn't be surprised if they came up at similar times, especially if they're both performing well in AAA. It kind of reminds me of last year when they brought up Mize and Skubal for back-to-back starts. Yeah. And that was a lot of fun. So it'd be fun to see both these guys come up together. I think Thomas is probably the last one up, like you said. Rutschman, maybe June or July. Thomas, maybe that same time frame, but I could see him being the last one. So, yeah, and I don't see any like instant impact here. I don't see none of these guys are coming up this year, and I don't really see much early season impact for 2022 either.
Yeah, definitely mid season, but I think these are all guys that could have a chance to have an impact right away once they are up. I know we've kind of been going through the year of the prospect where not many of them are performing well out of the gate with a few exceptions, but for the most part, we've seen guys like obviously Kelenic and Wander kind of struggle out of the gates with flashes of brilliance, obviously. But these are, like I said, three advanced hitters, all can hit for average and power, control the strike zone well. I think each of these three, Tork, Green, and Rutschman, have a chance to hit 270 plus with 20 plus home runs. That might be on the low end. They could all hit 280, 290 with 30 home runs, I think. And then I think Green, he was a guy that I kind of had penciled in as like a, maybe a 5-10 steal guy, but he is showing, like I said, a lot more speed this year. I still don't think he's going to be like a 25-25 guy. Like, I've seen some people throw that around, but this year in AA, he had 16 home runs and 12 steals in 84 games. So I think he could be maybe bump that up a little bit to like maybe a mid-teens guy, 25 homer type bat, 15 or so steals, just adding a little more value to the overall already pretty good all-around profile. But moving down a little bit here, we had three intriguing pitcher promotions this week. 2 to AA. Those were both in Seattle, Emerson Hancock and George Kirby, who are both in my top five pitching prospects. And then the kind of the bigger, buzzier one, actually, even though he's lower down in the rankings, Yuri Perez just got the bump yesterday to high A. And he was absolutely dominating low A as a 18-year-old who was 18. It's not like he's like an old 18, right? Like, this is a kid that turned 18 right before the season started. I believe in mid-March, I think, was his 18th. Oh, no, mid-April. He turned 18, so like 2-3 weeks before the season started. And in 15 starts, 56 innings, 161 ERA, and a 0.95 whip, high K rate, walk rate, you know, in the 10% range. But, you know, that's, I'm not overly worried there for a young pitcher. That's just slightly below 10% at 9.5%. But at the same time, like I mentioned, high K rate, check out 82 batters in 56 innings for a 37.3% strikeout rate. So really, really impressive. He's 6'8". Like, this guy is an absolute giant. A little bit skinny, obviously, but I think once he fills up that frame, this could be a mid to upper 90s fastball guy. He's shown a good curveball, shown a feel for a changeup that's still developing, but he's in Miami, so you got to feel confident that that changeup comes along. How excited? I know you don't have him quite as high. I think I bumped him pretty high in my rankings. He's top 100 for me now, so I'm buying into everything I've seen from Perez. What are your thoughts, Chris, on Yuri Perez, and how high do you have him in your rankings?
Yeah, he's going to continue to move up. I mean, he's been stellar. You can't really argue with what he's done. He gets, for his age, I think that's the most impressive thing, is that he's so young. He was one of the youngest in low A, and then obviously dominated, and now he's definitely the youngest in high A. So, man, he's been just so impressive, and I don't know. I think that he could easily bump to be a top 50 prospect and potentially even higher. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he did move higher than that. Like,
yeah,
does he have the upside to be one of the best pitching prospects in baseball? Potentially. Like, I know it's a small sample of what we've seen, but dang, I mean, you can't argue with the results. And you look at his spin rates, they're stellar. He's got good velocity. You mentioned if that changeup develops, then shoot, I think, you know, he's in for a heck of a move up, because the fastball and curve are a really good combo. That changeup's kind of the hinge there. So if he keeps developing that, I think that'll take him a long way. And I think he could really blossom, and he's very exciting. Great organization to develop pitchers, which is even better for him. And so I think we're in for a fun ride with Yuri Perez.
Just another gem in that Marlins system when it comes to pitching prospects. Like, how many do they need? Like, and he's probably like, what, 9th or 10th on the depth chart? Like, in terms of, like, you know, the pitching talent, they obviously have Max Meyer, Edward Cabrera, Sixto, all the guys at the major league level. They added a Jesus Luzardo into that, Pablo Lopez. The list goes on and on. So it's an embarrassment of riches here. And like we mentioned, that the changeup is behind the fastball, curveball, but at the same time, he's shown at least a feel for a changeup. So that's a good place to start. It doesn't, like, he just doesn't have one. Like, he has a changeup. Maybe it's not a great one right now, but at least he's shown a feel for it. Like, he's still 18 and a great org for pitching development in general, and then you've seen what they've done with changeups especially. So makes me feel better than if he was in, like, I don't know, insert in another org. I don't know, the Red Sox. I'll use my own Red Sox here. Like, Miami is like one of the top-notch orgs. So definitely feel very confident with what I've seen from him so far, and it's been an absolute beaut of a time to watch him in low A. So we'll be really interested to see how he does in high A against more advanced competition. So that'll be very interesting. But let's get on here to our prospect risers and fallers. Let's start with the fallers. I think we did the same thing last week. We went fallers first, and we'll hit risers later on in the show. So we get a lot more risers than fallers. So we'll get these fallers out of the way. We have three hitters and three pitchers here on our sheet that are falling down our rankings. So we'll start with the hitters. Jeter Downs, Robert Poisson, Ed Howard. Out of these three, Chris, which one are you most worried about long term?
You know, probably Poisson, just because of, and you know, it's tough for me to say that because he's young, he's still developing, and yeah, he's had some struggles, but he's also shown some positives. But you know, overall, he's still extremely young for the level, obviously extremely young in general. He'll turn 19 soon, But again, I mean, think about all these guys who are signed in his international class that aren't over here playing, you know, full season ball. And the A's did that. They started him in full season ball here. So it showed a lot of confidence. And yeah, the strikeouts have been terrible. I mean, not good at all. And so he's still hitting just 216, three home runs, three steals. He's kind of been just meh. And you look at the strikeout rate, and it should just scare you to death when you see 42.6%. Is that right? That's nuts.
Yeah.
It's extremely high.
Unfortunately, that is right.
Yeah. Like, you see that number, it's like, holy cow, like, are we sure that's right? But yeah, and the walk rate has just been okay. It's not been, you know, great by any means. But, you know, I think there's still plenty of time. And yeah, it's easy for us to list him as a faller because that's what he is. Like, we have to be reactionary to these things. And we're looking at a 76-game sample at this point.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And he's not been good. I think there's some things he needs to work out, and I think that he's capable of doing that, and I think there's still plenty of upside, but I just have to wonder, like, if we overrated him, you know, coming out of that international class, and now we're seeing, you know, we kind of did that a little bit. So, yeah, I think it's easy to be most worried about him, but again, at the same time, with how young he is, he could easily turn it around and be fine.
Yeah, I think we did probably overrate him, but at the same time, I think we do that a lot with these guys, like, especially like, you know, every year, every international class, you have like, there's like a handful of guys at the top where it's like last year, Willman, you had Willman Diaz, Christian Hernandez, Carlos Colmenares, guys like that, that this, we seem to elevate those elite guys because we see like, oh, look at the raw tools and the projection and all this and that, all those buzzy words everyone loves to hear. But we seem to forget sometimes that they're only 16, 17 years old and like plus on barely 18, one of the youngest players at full season ball in the minor leagues right now, or most of the guys that, you know, are his age are still at the complex level. So yeah, he's definitely moved down because I am concerned with the, you know, swing and miss ways that he has right now. But same time, there's plenty of time for that to be cleaned up. But he's in Oakland, and this has seemed like it's been coming a trend. Like, you see a lot of bad approaches with Oakland. Like, we start with like Austin Beck, Lazaro Armenteros. There's like a lot of bad K rates in this org. So I don't know how confident I am in this org and kind of maximizing his potential. We'll see. But obviously the skill set is still there. But, you know, one I'm kind of getting concerned with here, because, you know, we talked about, I forget where I talked about him. I think it was on a different pod a few weeks back. Jeter Downs from my Red Sox, who was, I think we both had him. Where did you have him, like, coming into the season, Chris? I think I had him low 20s, pushing top 20 overall. Did you have him that high as well?
Yeah, he was like 18th. He was inside the top 20.
Yeah, so like around 20, give or take. And I think we weren't the only ones in the industry to do that. I think he was pretty high, at least like top 30, top 40 in basically any ranking system you saw. But he just keeps kind of sliding, and he's been getting worse and worse. I looked like 2 weeks ago when I was talking about him on a different podcast, and he was hitting like 198 at the time, which obviously is already terrible. Now he's down to 181 in the hitter-friendly AAA environment. Yeah, it's the East. It's not the, you know, quote-unquote Pacific Coast League, the West, I guess now, AAA West. But 181, 270, 305 slash, 32.3% strikeout rate. He's still walking a hair under 10% of the time, which is good. He's always been a guy that's walked at a pretty solid clip. He's over 10% for his minor league career. But the K rate going up is very concerning. He was never a big K rate guy before this year. He was always kind of like hovering around 20%. The power speed is still kind of there, but it's been really slowed down as the season's progressed. Like a lot of the power speed he's shown, I think, was kind of in the first couple months of the season when he was struggling, but not to this extent. But then again, I still look at that power speed. I still think he's a potential 2020 guy. Put him in Fenway in that Red Sox lineup. So there's still a lot to like here. But you know, how concerned are you about what you've seen from Jeter Downs so far this year?
Well, the most concerning thing is just how lost he looks at the plate. Like, aside from the numbers, like the numbers are bad, but he just looks lost. Like, he has no clue what's going on. And I think that's definitely a cause for concern. And the reason that I always ranked him so high was because, you know, the floor was really high. Like, in my opinion, Downs isn't like a lead upside, and he never really has been. But there's always been that 2020 potential. He's always had a solid approach. He's most likely going to end up at second base. So, like, 2020, like, 270 at second base, like, that's pretty stellar for fantasy purposes. And for that reason, like, I've always been high on him. I've been high on him for years. And now we're just seeing, like, man, he just looks incredibly lost at the plate. And, you know, it's hard to really explain, like, why, other than the fact that he's just not performing. Yeah, that's easy to say. And you mentioned, like, a lot of his counting stats were early on. And you just have to wonder, like, since July 1st, and not home runs, but even still, like, no, that's wrong. He had 9 home runs on the season. 2 home runs since July 1st. 104 average. Like, jeez.
It's 104 since July. Well, I mean, that makes sense. Like, to go from 198 down to 10 or 181, you got to be really bad to drop that average that much. So, yeah, 104. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, 104 since July 1st.
That's brutal. That is bad. Like I said, I still think there's some solid skills there, obviously, so I'm not, like, totally writing him off. Like, he's still very much inside my top 100. I think I have him at right around 60 now, but definitely concerned with what I've seen. Like you mentioned, and I've watched some, you know, Worcester games, being, you know, obviously they're a AAA affiliate for my Red Sox. So, you know, I watch their games when I can, and, yeah, it's just anytime I watch, it's like he's doing nothing, especially, obviously, even more so lately. Maybe a good buy low if people are kind of like really panicking about him. You could probably sneak in with a solid offer, but don't, you know, pay too much to get him right now because there's definitely some concern there. And then the last hitter here, another one that has a pretty similar slash line, actually, Ed Howard, you know, one of the top 2020 draftees. A lot of people had him, you know, top 20 in FYPD. I think he's one that I had like 16th or 17th, maybe even a little higher. I warmed up to him a little more. So maybe I put him like 13th, 14th, and FYPD. Some had him even higher. I know several people around the industry that are very high on Ed Howard, but he is off to an atrocious start. First 54 games in low A Myrtle Beach, 186, 240, 252 slash line, 13 walks to 73 strikeouts. That is not good. That's just 30, exactly same as Jeter Downs. 32.3% strikeout rate with probably half the walk rate. Where's your concern level at here on Ed Howard? Are you just kind of like, all right, he's 19 years old, first taste of pro ball. He just needs some time to get settled in. Or do you think that maybe, you know, we kind of overvalued him as well coming out of last year's draft?
Yeah. And so I was a little lower on him coming into the draft. He was a field like first type guy, glove first, an elite glove at that. And a lot of people thought the tools could develop with him. And there's still a chance they can. I mean, you look at Howard, he is 19. He's, you know, got a good frame, 6'2", 185, plenty of room to grow into strength here. Hit tool, you know, you kind of wonder, like, many thought that would be kind of the calling card for his bat over, like, the speed and the power. I think I ranked him 24th among the first-year players last year, if I'm not mistaken, which, you know, you look back and that seems a little high even now, but... And the two guys we've talked about with Poisson and Howard, Howard's almost a year older than Poisson, and they're both playing at the same level. And so you look at that and you kind of have to factor that in still. And you know, Howard just hasn't been great. That's not to say that he won't be great, but we've seen minimal power. The hit tool is kind of meh, you know, at least 5 stolen bases. Like that's semi encouraging, but again, like it's kind of, you take those with a grain of salt in low A because look at, you know, look at Zach Veen. Yeah. He's a tough one to kind of evaluate right now. And with, you know, what he might be. So yeah, I don't know. He's a tough one. I don't want to drop him too far, but I think we do have to be weary. Like if the bat doesn't develop, he ends up like a field first type guy and just like a 10-10 type player. Like how valuable is that for fantasy?
Yeah, absolutely. I still think that Ed Howard can be a good all-around player. I think the bat will, you know, it'll be fine. Maybe we not as fine as we had hoped, but I think he can still be a solid all-around player. Maybe, you know, 15 to 18 home run, maybe even 20 home runs still, you know, adding in a little bit of speed as well. So I still think there's some good upside here. So maybe that creates a little bit of a buy low, but it does look like we might have overrated him a bit, or at least I did. I know I had him ranked a good 8 to 10 spots higher than you did, or at least 5 to 6 spots. So definitely some concern here, but you know, at the same time, I do think that he's going to turn it around at least to some degree. So take that for what it's worth. But let's move on here to the pitchers and start with another one from the 2020 draft class that I think I saw some people rank as high as number 3 overall in the class. I mean, he was the number 4 overall pick in the 2020 draft by the Kansas City Royals. And that's Asa Lacy, who is, you know, he hasn't been terrible, but he's been very, very worrisome, especially with his command and control so far. In 52 innings in high A quad cities, he's walked 41 batters. That is a 17.3% walk rate. That is not going to get done. Like we always kind of talk about that 10% level. You know, you can live with 10 to 11% if the stuff is really good. Case in point, Freddie Peralta and Corbin Burns before this year. But Lacy, 17, you can't live with 17.3% regardless of how good your stuff is. And, you know, Lacy came into the draft with a very good, you know, mix of pitches, you know, fast mid-90s to upper 90s fastball from the left side, that good slider, you know, solid changeup as well. So everyone kind of thought, y'all, he could be the best pitcher of the class. It was like him, Hancock, and Meyer. The other two have performed pretty well so far. Lacy's gone in the wrong direction here. He's fallen all the way into the where is he in my rankings here? 70s or 80s overall. I still have him top 100, but that command and control profile is very concerning for me. Actually, I have 86 at the moment. So, yeah, where do you have him, Chris? How concerned are you with Asa Lacy that command and control profile is just going to limit his effectiveness as a starter or even maybe push him to the bullpen? Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, it could, but the upside is still tremendous. Yeah. I may still be a little high on him. I've got him at 65. Like, in just looking at that, that feels high.
That's still a good drop off though. Like, where'd you probably have him? Like, yeah. 30s or something?
Yeah, he was in the 40 to 50 range. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, it's tough, but I don't know. He hasn't shown any command, and the walk rate has been terrible. Yeah, the swinging strike rate of 19% is stellar, and the strikeout rate, 33.3%, is fantastic. Like, those are numbers you love to see, but the rest of the profile just hasn't been there. He hasn't looked like he has it, you know. And from a pure upside standpoint, like, Lacy arguably still a top, you know, 5 to 7 pitching prospect in baseball. Like, he's that good. So I guess the question is, will he overcome the command issues? Because he's got the stuff for it, but the command just hasn't been there. So we're going to see that come around, and hopefully it does. But I don't know. I mean, he's tough. He's a tough one to kind of value.
Yeah, so he's dropped 86 in my rankings. Like, he's, you know, right around. Another one he's right around is Matt Manning, who is another follower here who did not look good at AAA and has been kind of, you know, lackluster at the major league level. He's had a good start here and there, but for the most part, 6.10 ERA, 1.52 WHIP, forgot how to strike out people, apparently. Like, strikeout rate is, he struck out 25 batters in 48 and two-thirds innings at the major league level. That's in 218 batters he's faced. Do the math, 11.5% strikeout rate. Not walk rate, strikeout rate for Matt Manning, who was always like a high 20s, low 30s percent strikeout rate guy for basically his entire career in the minor leagues. So I don't know. Who are you, if you could pick one right now, are you still taking Lacy over Manning?
I guess I should because of my rankings. Like, I've got Manning outside the top 100, but I think it's pretty close. I mean, you give the edge to Manning from the standpoint of, you know, he's up at least.
Right. He's giving you something at least.
Yeah. Giving you much, but he is contributing.
Are you concerned about that strikeout rate though? Because he's still got the good curveball, but it's not missing bats. The whiff rate isn't great. It's kind of like a middle of the road whiff rate right now on that curveball. Fastball's been kind of meh. Like I think I mentioned this to, I want to say it was Welsh. He kind of reminds me of overall a Chris Paddock. You know, decent fastball that kind of can be inconsistent at times. One really good secondary, obviously for Manning, it's his curveball. For Paddock, it's the changeup. But then the second secondary offering is the one where it's like, where is it? Is it ever going to be there? And with Manning, he was showing strides with it. It's kind of fallen off. But I think there's a long way to go before Manning is a guy that's not going to be completely maddening for fantasy people.
Yeah, and I think that's a fair point. Like you mentioned, the whiff rates are, you know, pretty middling on all those pitches at that. You know, nothing really stands out here. And gotten hit pretty hard, so yeah, he's tough, and the fastball especially hasn't been great. And there's nothing in his Statcast profile that suggests there's any promise. You know, the only thing he's really got going for him is the walk rate is pretty solid. But
yeah,
when you're only striking out, you know, 11.5% of guys, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, he's definitely control over command right now. Like the pitch location has not been there. He's not missing bats, so. I have my concern. I've had him fall. I still have him back end top 100, a few spots below Lacy's in the upper 80s right now, but I am not nearly as high as I was on him before the season, it sucks. Like, all the top guys this year have been kind of falling off. Like, Lacy was one of the top guys falling off. Obviously, Mackenzie Gore. Like, the Padres just signed Jake Arrieta, and I saw a tweet from Matt Thompson from Prospects Live, and he said something to the degree of, like, if this isn't, you know, raised concern with how they think about Mackenzie Gore, then I don't know what will. I butchered the wording, but it's just something like that. Like, yeah, Gore's kind of fallen off. A lot of guys, top guys, have fallen off this year. It's been kind of a weird year for pitching prospects. And the last one here, I'll let Chris take the floor on this one because y'all know me. I've ranted time and time again about this guy and how I thought he was overrated. And now this year, with a 6.10 ERA, and AAA, 8.07 ERA in 7 starts. I'm still on Matt Manning. Excuse me. Let's go over to Davey Garcia here, who I'm talking about right now. AAA, 7.08 ERA, 1.82 WHIP. And he's had 51 walks in 68 and two-thirds innings for a 15.5% walk rate. And his two starts with the Yankees, he was just as bad. He might be outside of my top 400. Next update. So Chris, as someone that maybe isn't as biased as me in this conversation, where are you at on Davey? Do you still see any value here?
I think it's minimal. Maybe some name value if someone still thinks that he can be a high-end arm, and I don't really see that.
The Yankee fan in your league. There's always a Yankee fan in every league. That Yankee fan.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, he's got stuff. Like, he's got good stuff. I think the question mark was, you know, always whether he was a bullpen arm or not. And I've always leaned that he was a bullpen arm. And, you know, being a little smaller, he's listed at 5'9", 163. So he's a little smaller. Like, I know, you know, some people are shifting their viewpoint to saying, like, they want those smaller guys now, get some more, like, ride on the fastball. But, you know, it's not working with Davey. And I think we saw that even last year. Even in 2019, we saw that. We saw struggles in AAA in 2019. You know, he came up last year, was not good in the majors, not good this year in AAA. It's just been kind of constantly bad. And, you know, one of the biggest struggles has always been the walk rate when you go back to that. And yeah, it hasn't been as bad as we've seen this year in AAA at 15%, but still 11% or higher, you know, in every place since 2018. So every stop since 2018, 11% or higher, which is definitely concerning. And I think it's easy to say the command control is like below average at this point. And he doesn't really have the strikeout stuff. We haven't seen that in some time since AA in 2019. And, you know, that's going on over 2 years at this point. And we haven't seen, you know, solid Davey Garcia. So, yeah, I mean, you can point to different things like, you know, but at the end of the day, I just don't think it's there. I don't think he's a high-end starter. I don't even see him really being a, you know, any kind of value, like you said. I think it's easy to see him dropping a significant portion. Like he's outside my top 250. If you can get something for him because he's Yankee, I would do it.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Yep, totally agree. Like, and even the K rate, which had been there like in previous years, like look back 2019, when he pitched at three different levels, high A, double A, and triple A. Now, even though he was starting to show some of those signs, like you mentioned, he still had a 34% strikeout rate, which is very, very good. Anytime you're above that 30% mark, that's a very good mark. But this year, that has even dropped down to 22.7%. So he has a K-minus walk rate of around like 7.5% right now. That is not good at all. So yeah, I just don't see it happening. And yeah, the lower size, I think there's a difference though, like between like lower height and lower release point. I've seen some, you know, bigger guys get that lower release point, which gives it that nice fastball ride. And but Garcia just doesn't have the command of his fastball to kind of maximize that lower release height. And how many of these smaller guys have we seen like have prolonged success? That's something I've been kind of saying about Davey for a while. Like, yeah, Tim Lincecum had it for, you know, a few years, but he was obviously a much better pitcher. And even he, like, his window of being very good was a very short window. And he kind of just fell off the cliff and was almost, you know, basically went away after a few years. So yeah, just don't like Davey Garcia at all. But yeah, I echo what Chris said. If you can get anything for him just because of his name, the organization he's in, he's a Yankee, do it. Because I don't see this ship getting right. Maybe he's not this bad going forward, but I don't see any sort of fantasy value here. So I think he's a bullpen arm and not one that pitches in like high leverage situations. So definitely a guy you can sell if you can at this point, but who knows if you can. Let's go ahead and hit a quick break here. We'll come back on the other side and get into our risers, so don't go anywhere.
The following is an actor portrayal.
With Kindley Assisted Living and Memory Care at Asbury Methodist Village in Montgomery County, you can anticipate more. But don't take our word for it.
My dad moved to Kindley and loved it. His apartment was spacious, sunny, and overlooked Parkland. It was a great comfort to me to see him always smiling and involved in the life at Kindley.
Enjoy quality on-site nursing and rehab services, too. Visit kindleyatasbury.org today. Equal opportunity housing provider.
All right, welcome back from the break. Let's get into our risers here, Chris, and we have a lot more names here. Kind of hard. Let's start with some of the hitters here. Let's go to infielders. There's a lot of infielders here. Let me just list off the names here that we have on our list, and then we can kind of pick and choose who we want to talk about. We have Anthony Volpe, obviously one of the bigger breakout names this year for the Yankees. Ezekiel Tovar from the Rockies. Jose Miranda from the Twins. Curtis Mead from the Tampa Bay Rays. Blaze Jordan from my Red Sox. Reginald Preciado from the Cubs. John Kenzie Noel from the Guardians. That's going to be hard to switch over. MJ Melendez from the Royals. And Josh Young from the Texas Rangers here. Chris, go ahead, pick. You have the pick of the litter here. Who do you want to talk about first?
Let's go with Ezekiel Tovar. He's one that I think is, you know, fully legit. Just watching him, you know, I love his swing. He gets nice loft on it. It generates natural power. And, you know, you look at how solid he's been, and you know, you can't argue the results. And yeah, you can say, well, when he got promoted to high A, he struggled a little bit. Yeah, 42 plate appearances. I'll take the sample of 326 plate appearances in low A and think that, you know, he can adjust with time. But yeah. And so in low A, 326 plate appearances, 11 home runs, 21 stolen bases, 309 average, 346 OBP. So the walk rate is slightly concerning because it's lower. But in the past, you know, we've seen him be a higher walk rate guy, but just 4.3%. He actually has not walked in high, which has me concerned, but he doesn't strike out either. So he's got just an 11.8% strikeout rate on the entire season. So that's been extremely solid. He's putting the ball in play consistently. One of the question marks maybe is he's hitting the ball on the ground a little too much. He's been doing that more in high A. He wasn't as bad, only 36% in low A, but 61% in high A. Again, small sample, getting the ball in the air a lot more in low A, causing some home runs. His home run per fly ball was just 9.6%. So it's not like he was, you know, stealing home runs or anything by getting some good home run to fly ball luck. And overall, I think the profile is pretty intriguing for fantasy. You know, he's one that the power really developed and a lot of people didn't really see it. Like, he was kind of graded as lower power in the past and, you know, came out this year and been impressive. And that's one of those things that we've seen in 2020. A lot of things changed with people. And you got to think back. Tovar debuted in rookie ball at 16 years old. And now just turned 20. Just turned 20 earlier this month. So he was playing at 19 in low A and performing well. And so I genuinely think that Tovar is legit. I think he's a top 100 prospect. I think he has a chance to move up if the power continues to show that it's legit.
Yeah, he's one that's flown up my rankings a ton. I have him right in the top 100 range. I think just a hair outside of it, but he keeps showing what he's showing. Yeah, 107. But that's up a good 50 spots from my last update. And like I said, he keeps, if he starts showing at high A what he was showing at low A, he's going to fly up a ton more, like top 50 territory, because he's got the skills to really be a top 50 prospect offensively. Like you mentioned, there's a good contact, even though the walk rate isn't really the best right now. That can come in time, like when he matures as a hitter, but he's at least showing above average contact skills, some solid pop, good speed. It's kind of like a bit of everything across the board. But you know, there's someone right now, there's at least one person listening to this show right now, like, oh, can't wait till the Rockies screw him up or hold him back till 2028. You know, don't worry about that right now. Like, people keep saying that, but when I gush about Zach Veen, anybody I talk about in the Rocky system, don't shy away from Rocky's prospects altogether, because when they're talented like this, like Tovar, you kind of got to go after these guys, and he's firmly on the rise. First thing I want to get into here, who I'm currently writing about, and this might be out by the time you listen to that. If not, it'll be out tomorrow on Fantrax HQ. Reginald Preciado. First off, love the name. It sounds very fancy. Like, you find this him at a country club or something, sipping Chardonnay or something like that. But Reginald Preciado came over from the Padres in the Yu Darvish deal last year. And that was a very sneaky good return. I think the Cubs fans at the time were really underwhelmed because a lot of the guys they got back were like lower level guys, but a lot of upside, a lot of talent, a lot of good raw tools in that return package. And I think Preciado has a chance to be the best one of the bunch. You know, he split time between third base and shortstop this year. Long term, I think he ends up at third base, probably, if I had to bet, because the fact that he's already splitting time between the two spots, he's currently 6'4", 185, and he just turned 18 back, well, actually, as we're recording this, 3 months ago to the day on May 16th. So he's barely 18 years old, already 6'4", 185. You got to figure he fills out more, maybe grows a few inches. This could be like a 6'6", 210 type of guy in the next couple of years. You know, we'll see. It's always hard to predict how the frames will fill out. But this is a guy that has shown just above average tools, especially across the board, even running. Like right now, I say he's an above average runner. Yeah, in time, I think that'll drop down to about average as he fills out. That's always the trade-off for the most part. When you bulk up, you lose a little bit of speed, but even then, like I think the foot speed he's shown, the athleticism he's shown, I think he'll still move well enough to be an average runner and maybe add, you know, 10 steals a year. But this back could be really special, whether it's at short or third. It's still early, but showing above average contact skills can really, really impact the ball well. Only has two home runs so far, but he has eight doubles in 26 games, 370, 420, 537 slash. I think this could be a guy that's a 55 hit, 60 or better power. Like I think he's could be a guy that flirts with 70 power for raw. I don't really think that's possible if that frame fills out. So it's like a really, really good, probably third baseman, like I mentioned. So this is a guy, I already bumped him up into my top 100, and he keeps showing this. He's going to be top 50, maybe even higher, my next update. Like Reginald Preciado is a dude and someone to definitely target now. Another one here, transition to another corner infielder that's really showing well from my Red Sox, Blaze Jordan. And I had my concerns with Blaze Jordan, as I'm sure a lot of people have. Like the power, nobody has questioned the power. It's prestigious. He was, you know, on the cover of Sports Illustrated hitting 500-foot home runs when he was 16. It's like, oh, he's second coming of Bryce Harper. But, you know, he was kind of a bit of a project when the Sox drafted them. I didn't like the pick at the time. So I just thought, okay, great, we saved money to get Blaze Jordan, a project. So had my skepticism at the time, but he has proven me wrong so far. Granted, small sample size, but 19 games. He has four home runs, 362, 408, 667 slash, only 13 strikeouts and 76 plate appearances. Walked six times, has seven doubles as well. So if that, it's kind of like similar profile to Jordan Walker, where it's like power first, and then there's some improvements with the hit tool and the approach. Don't have him ranked as high as Jordan Walker, but you know, this is a guy that could be top 100 before too long. If he goes, he got promoted to low A recently. If that, you know, he hasn't played there yet, but once he does, and if he keeps showing the same improvements he showed at the complex level, he's going to keep shooting up, just because that name value will definitely help that value go way, way up. So very impressed with Blaze Jordan so far. What are your thoughts?
He's one that very excited about. I think he's done more than enough to at least quiet some of the skepticism for now, and it could come back. Like there's always a possibility that, you know, the hit tool does struggle, but the hit tool is legit and he continues to show this, and man, he's going to be very exciting. He should shoot up prospect boards. Like he could be a top 50 prospect pretty easily and maybe even higher, because, you know, that was the question. Like, would he hit enough? And he's showing that, yeah, he's more than capable. So very exciting. I'm excited about him for sure. And Preciado, again, I told Cubs fans to not stress about that return. I thought it was good. These guys were young and uncertain, but you know, Preciado was one that I was always higher on. And here he goes. Like, I'm excited about him. I don't think I've gotten as aggressive as you have, but I think he's top 100, could go a lot higher, and he's got that upside for sure, which is very exciting. I'm going to go and hit on Curtis Mead, and I think that's a prospect that's not talked about as much. And he's in the Tampa Bay organization for one, which, you know, doesn't help him. One being kind of overshadowed by Wander and Vidal Brujan, and just the way they handle their players in general. He plays all over the board. Like, who knows, you know, where he fits long term. He's played second, short, third. He's capable of kind of playing all over the diamond, which is really nice and gives them flexibility in the Rays like that too. And so far this year, between high A and low A, slash line of 324, 378, 527, just 10 home runs and 10 stolen bases. So, you know, the power speed's not like, you know, out the wazoo or anything, but it's still extremely solid profile for 352 plate appearances. You know, really like what I see with the contact skills. He's added loft to swing and added power. And I think that was a question mark maybe of how much power he would actually develop. But I think that's coming around. And I think there's you know, at least average, if not above average game power. And I think the speed's solid as well. Like, he's kind of an efficient base stealer. And I think he's capable of you know, he's not the fastest runner, I think he's capable of stealing bags. He doesn't get caught that often. So I could see him being a 10 steal guy at the big league level, potentially develop into like, you know, 17 type home run. And if the hit tool's there, then shoot, that's a pretty solid profile. So Mead's one that I think is kind of underrated that I like a lot. So he's one that I'm kind of buying in on that I've continually moved up a little bit.
Yeah, me too. Like, that, these are the types of guys I mentioned it before. Like, it's a sneaky good strategy in your dynasty leagues to get these kind of pop-up guys that might be in these bigger organizations that get overshadowed. Like, Josh Lowe was overshadowed for a while. And now, look, he's a guy that I have, like, I think around top 30 overall because he was just so undervalued for such a long time. But look at these guys and go out and get them, because you can usually get them for a pretty reasonable price tag just because, like I said, they don't get the love that they probably should. Like, Curtis Mead would be so much more talked about if he was in, I don't know, the Angels or the Royals or Pittsburgh or any other, you know, even though those are all pretty decent orgs actually, but just because he's in Tampa Bay, overshadowed by the big names that are always there in that org, he's been very undervalued for a while. Chris, if you had to pick one of these three long-term, who would you take? Curtis Mead, Yonkenzie Noel, or Jose Miranda? Long-term, who's the best?
I actually think it's Jose Miranda. And I think everything that he's done is legit. And yeah, the other guys are younger and doing it, you know, but Miranda just turned 23. He's dominated consistently. I mean, people wondered if he'd tail off after he hit AAA, and he hasn't at all. I mean, he's been even better at AAA, and you can't argue. I mean, dude's got massive power. The hit tool is legit. And, you know, you talked about grabbing these pop-up guys. I really regret not picking him up more places, because I think he's got, I'm not going to say star potential, but man, he can be really, really good. And you look at what he's done this year. 411 plate appearances. He's got a 346 batting average, 409 OBP, and 602 slug, 24 home runs. Yeah, four steals, you know, whatever. He's not going to steal a ton of bags, but the power hit seems to be there. Like, very, very impressive there. And you mentioned he hasn't slowed down a bit. I'm curious to see if he gets a call this year and what he can do, because I really like the profile. I think he could slide on in at the big league level and continue to hit. And they have to remember, he was a second-round pick back in 2016, so he had the pedigree, has plenty of talent, and I think we're finally seeing it all come together.
Yeah, Miranda, I think I was with a lot of people just like waiting for him to slow down, but he just hasn't. And I'm surprised he hasn't gotten a shot, because he can play a couple of different positions. Surprising that he hasn't gotten a shot yet up in Minnesota, but you got to think he gets that cup of coffee before the end of the season, and maybe it's a regular in their lineup next year. We'll see what they do in the offseason, but I think there's a chance you come into the, you know, 2022 and you see Miranda starting, you know, a second or third or wherever it may be. Definitely has a chance to, and he's just a very good hitter. Like, doesn't add much speed wise, but he could be the guy that just hits for a good average, some good pop. Like, a, you know, first guy that comes to mind is like Ryan McMahon, you know, like a 270 280 guy, 20 home runs or so. Nobody you're gonna be like building your team around, but at the same time, just a very solid year in year out fantasy player. But the last one here I want to get to, you know, that I think could be, it looks like a fantasy star in the making this year. Another guy that has not slowed down after a call up to the, not to AAA, but this one went from low A to high A. That's Anthony Volpe. You look at, he's played 81 games so far, 54 in low A, 27 in high A. So 81 games. I know that's not, you know, half of a minor league season, but it's half of 162. And 19 home runs, 27 steals. That's 38.54 pace. That's just ridiculous. You know, and he's hit 308 in high A to 302 in low A. You know, the approach has not been quite as elite as it was. Like, he walked more than he struck out down in low A, 51 to 43. That's now 13 to 31 respectively, but still walking around 10% of the time. K rate is still a tick below 25%. So still a pretty solid approach. Hitting for power, hitting for speed. You know, coming in, you know, in kind of lower levels a couple of years ago after he got drafted, which was 30th overall in 2019, he was like good hit tool, good speed, kind of let's see how the power comes along. And the power is definitely coming along. You know, I think he's going to be a, you know, close to 18, 20 homer bat, 20, 25, plenty of steals as well. Good average, good OBP. Like, this could be an absolute fantasy stud. I know it's still, he's still a ways off. He's 20 years old and high A, but I'm liking everything I'm seeing right now. And I bumped him up inside my top 50. And this guy could be top 25 by my next update. Like, I've seen others already put him top 25. I believe James Anderson has already put him top 25, and I might not be too far behind James. So where are you at on Volpe? Are you that high as well? Do you see fantasy star here? Because I do.
Yeah, I think he's definitely got that potential for sure. And again, we keep going back to this over and over. All these risers are guys that made, you know, significant improvements last year or between at least 2019 and 2021 that we just didn't necessarily get to see. And yeah, I'm not as aggressive on him yet. I've got him at 86, but I had him up from 249, to begin the year. So, you know, I try not to make these crazy jumps, but it's hard to argue with what he's done when he's been that good. So I think there's definitely an argument for top 50 and even higher, because even when he moved up a level, he still continued to perform. Yeah, I mean, not as elite, but pretty dang good still. I mean, you look at the numbers and you can't deny what he's done. So, yeah, he's one that I think can continue to rise. And again, we have to remember he was a first-round pick, 2019. So he's still young and looks like he's developing right on cue.
Yep, absolutely. I said I'm all in on him. I think he's going to be, if this continues, he's going to be top 25 my next update. I can't hold him out any longer. So there, I balanced my Davey Garcia, not hate, I hate to use the word hate, but Davey Garcia dislike with my Volpe love. So that kind of equaled out for the Yankee fans out there. Let's move on to a couple outfielders here before we get into the pitchers. And one that I really wanted to talk about, and he's another guy I'm writing about right now. So many good up-and-coming prospects in that Cubs org. Another one they got from the San Diego Padres. Second-round pick in 2020. Owen Casey, Canadian prep outfielder, and another guy with a great frame, 6'4", 190. You watch Casey, you know, he's a left-handed bat, huge raw power. It's hard to look at him and not at least have the name Joey Gallo just at least inching its way into the back of your mind. Like, the amount of raw power Casey has, and he just turned 19 back in early July, it's ridiculous. So he already has 6 home runs in his first 27 games in the complex league, 352, 491, 637 slash, with a ridiculously high walk rate as well, 20.7%. Yeah, the strikeout rate is a little higher, but not anything that I'm concerned about right now. It's still under 30%, but he has just the loft in his swing, and you figured he might have a longer swing because he's going to have the big, longer levers, but he really doesn't. You watch him, his hands are quick to the ball. Nice slight uppercut swing path, gets that good loft to his swing, can really drive the ball in the air to all fields. He's pretty athletic too. He's not just this power only guy. He's shown solid enough contact skills. He's shown some good speed as well. I think he's only a 50 runner long term, maybe even a tick below. We'll see how the frame fills out, but not a zero in speed. Can hit for a solid average, has shown a great, great patience. Granted, it is the rookie level, so you see a lot of higher walk rates down there. But definitely love what I've seen so far with Owen Casey. So he's top 100 for me right now. I'm getting pretty aggressive on these Cubs guys because the Cubs also have pretty damn good track record here of developing bats. We've seen it time and time again over the last decade. So he's getting a good org for developing bats. Love the power. I think he could be a great one. And then Kevin Alcantara too. They got from the Yankees. They've just been getting all these upside guys that we mentioned. Alcantara might not have the power of Owen Casey, but he's got a above average power speed blend, could be plus power in time. Now, the hit tool is the question with him, but he's showing well at the complex level as well. So Casey and Alcantara are two guys I am definitely targeting right now. What are your thoughts on them? And then get into another guy here from your Atlanta Braves. Jesse Franklin has been tearing the cover off the ball this season.
Yeah, they're all intriguing. I was a little lower on Casey prior to this year, but, you know, watching him, I do think there's that potential. Like you said, he's got a big uppercut swing, generates a lot of power, hits the ball extremely hard. So yeah, I'm definitely a fan of what he's done, and the hit tools showed to be pretty solid this year. It might be a short sample, but yeah, Franklin, I like Franklin a lot. The biggest concern with him is just the contact rates and the strikeout rate. You know, I mean, the power speed, kind of undeniable. 21 home runs, 15 stolen bases. Pretty impressive. And he is 22 at high A, but still, you know, just a 316 OBP, 246 average. So those are kind of meh, but the power speed is legit. And I don't know. I kind of wonder, like, what he could develop into. Like, where does the hit tool actually get to? Right now, I mean, 27% K rate, walk rate of 8.7%. I kind of wonder, like, where he settles in it. So yeah, like, to an extent, he's moving up and I'm buying, but there's still those concerns with him. And I guess there's concerns with all these guys to an extent, because, you know, the lack of track record, and, you know, we don't know where the end result is. But yeah, I think that, you know, the power speed here is pretty intriguing. I do think the speed kind of tapers off with time for Franklin. You know, he runs well for his size. He's a bigger boy at 6'1", 215, but he does move pretty well for his size. I do think he's just an average runner at peak for him. But I do think the power is probably above average, and he's shown probably even better power than that in the minors. So yeah, I'm a fan of all these guys, and like I said, I think they're all capable of turning into solid prospects.
Definitely agree. And then last but not least here, Josh Lowe. Now, he's the highest ranked of these guys, of the outfielders here. He's legit. Like, I've been pumping up Josh Lowe for a while. You look at what he's done in AAA, 80 games this year, 276, 356, 534 slash, 17 home runs, 19 steals, has not been caught yet. And then 21 doubles and 337 plate appearances. You know, the kind of knock on him was, you know, the hit tool kind of wasn't there. And it's still, I'd say, 50 grade at best. But this is a guy that's shown that he can walk. He has a walk rate well above 10% for his career. It's been above 10% basically at every level, except for in 2017 when he was in the low A Midwest League. But walks well. Power has come along finally as well. That started to come along in 2019 when he had 18 home runs in 121 games in the AA Southern League. He showed well in the Arizona Fall League while I was out there. 327 average in 15 games out there. So maybe he's not more than a 260 hitter or so, but a guy that could be, you know, 15 to 20 home runs, 20 plus steals. You know, I think he's going to be a guy that could hit, you know, I don't think he's a middle of the order bat, but maybe he looks like a good number five hitter or so. So very, very high on Josh Lowe. What are your thoughts on Josh Lowe?
Yeah, he's one I've always been really high on. I mean, you know, I generally look at stuff from OBP perspective, so that definitely helps his case. I think the hit tool's improved some this year. Like you mentioned, that was kind of a question mark, but he's shown to be pretty solid. I think he should have got a shot already with the big league club, but again, it's the Rays. So, you know, who knows where he settles in and what he looks like, where his role looks like. But yeah, I think that the power speed are both plus in my opinion. So he kind of makes up for the hit tool a little bit with that. In OBP league, I think he's a top 25 guy in OBP leagues, because I think he's that good with at least a power speed combo.
Yep. And you look at, you know, he's well above 350 for his career. He's basically been 340-ish or above OBP every year, except for 2017 when he was at the 320s. So definitely a very good all-around asset that just doesn't get nearly as much love. Like, even now, when he's having a very good year, knocking on the door to the major league, still isn't getting that much love. So go out there and show Josh Lowe some love. He's a bona fide fantasy, you know, really good above average fantasy player in the making here. Let's move on to the pitchers here before we get out of the show. So we'll start with the bigger names here. Probably the two biggest names we have on the list right now. Nick Lodolo, Cole Wynn. Lodolo has struggled a little bit in his two outings since being promoted to AAA, but that's only 5 2/3 innings total, so not really worried about that at all. Even with that, he has a 2.36 ERA, 0.99 WHIP this year, 11 walks to 75 strikeouts in 49 2/3 innings over 12 starts. Obviously, most of that down at the AA level in Chattanooga. You know, this is a guy, he can miss bats. He's always been a above average to plus command and control guy. I think, you know, he's in Cincinnati as well. They have a, you know, a good pitching development organization there that always helps. Yeah, ballpark might not be the greatest for him, but at the same time, he's not a guy that's ever given up a ton of home runs. Like, for his career in the minor leagues, in 68 innings, he's only given up 4 home runs. So I don't think giving up too many home runs at that ballpark will be an issue like it is for, like, a Tyler Molly, who gives up. Look at Tyler Molly's home road splits, because he's a more of a fly ball pitcher, and they're ridiculous. I think his ERA is above 5 at home, below 2 on the road. But Lodolo just has all the makings of a guy that can be a top, you know, 30 or so fantasy pitcher long term. You know, what are your thoughts here on Nick Lodolo, Chris?
Yeah, the floor is extremely high, you know, because great command control. And then the strikeouts are there. Like, you know, he doesn't really get the love that George Kirby does, but I think they're similar profile to an extent without, I mean, okay. Kirby obviously has better fastball and a better all around arsenal, but you look at the numbers and Lodolo runs high strikeout rates and the walk rates are extremely low. I do think Kirby's better, but I think Lodolo's really good and just doesn't get the love that he deserves. And I think the concerns are legitimate about pitching in Great American Ballpark, but, you know, even still, I think that he can be extremely good. And like you said, I think the floor with the upside keeps him like a top 30 arm long term.
Yeah, for sure. You mentioned the high floor, and that's kind of what he's known for. But the fact that he's not just a floor guy anymore, and he's got some pretty good upside as well. I think this is the no doubt top 10 overall fantasy arm or pitching prospect, I should say, with significant upside to go along with the high floor. So those are the guys you really like. The high floor guys also have a pretty high upside as well. So the other names on our list here, Cole Wynn, as I mentioned, Ryan Pepio, who I've talked about a good amount, Josh Winder, Carmen Machinski, Taj Bradley, Peyton Battenfield, and Dax Fulton. Chris, pick a couple names of these guys. I know you're a big Peyton Battenfield guy. We talked about that before. But who are a couple of these guys that you're just really, really excited about?
Yeah, all these arms have been excited. Taj Bradley's one that, you know, I thought had the upside prior to this year. And, you know, he's been pretty impressive. And, you know, I'll kind of run with him for a minute. When you look at the arm in general, he's young, you know, just turned 20 right before the season. A big fastball, good slider. So those two pitch, I think that was the question mark. He's just a two-pitch guy and potentially a bullpen guy because the command, the changeup kind of being the question mark. But, you know, he's kind of put some of that past him this year, been extremely solid. You know, he's recently promoted to high A, just 10 innings there, but the 10 inning sample has been good with a 3.6 ERA. Strikeout rate still at 30%, walk rate at 7.5%, right in line with what he did in low A. You know, 62 innings, he ran a 1.76 ERA and a 0.86 whip, walk rate at 8%, 32.5% strikeout rate. I think the arsenal is legit. I think those three pitches are really good. And I think that the command is, you know, improving. And we're kind of seeing that with the numbers. And I think, you know, the walk rate is improved. And also, you know, commanding his pitches a little better and is seeing better results in general. So, yeah, Bradley's one. Don't really need to hit on Battenfield. I think we talked about him a little last time. But, yeah, I'm high on him, probably higher than most. I know you like Cole Wynn a lot, so I'll kind of skip him. Carmen Machinski, you know, saw him a lot here. He went to University of South Carolina. And, you know, I kind of wondered what he would be like as a professional arm. I wasn't really sure. And, you know, he's been good. He's been injured, so we haven't seen a ton from him. But 43 innings, he's been pretty stellar, you know, with high Pittsburgh at 2.51 ERA, a 1.0 whip, 33% K rate, walk rate at 9%. It's a little high, but you can live in that area. The swinging strike rate has been pretty impressive at 17.7%. That's pretty stellar in my opinion. You know, he's got a good arsenal of 4 pitches with a fastball, slider. There's a cutter in there and then changeup. Changeup's probably the most lagging of the pitches, but I think it's coming around. And I think the command's solid as well. So Majiski kind of doesn't really get the love that he deserves. And I think he can be a solid arm, like, you know, solid SP3 or 4. Not a super high ceiling, but I do think he's a solid floor that could be a solid arm, you know, at the big league level.
Yeah, and I'll hit on Cole Wynn here. Like you mentioned, I'm pretty high on Cole Wynn. I've always been high on Cole Wynn, even back to the, you know, when he was drafted. You know, in my FYPD rankings after he was drafted, he was my number 2 arm from that draft class behind Casey Mize. That was a pretty good draft class pitching-wise, and I had Cole Wynn, a prep arm from California, as my number 2. And yeah, it's taken a little bit longer than, you know, I would hope and many of us would hope for him to kind of hit his stride. But he really has this year in double A, 257 ERA and a 0.83 whip over 16 starts and 70 innings. K rate above 30%, walk rate below 10%. You know, he kind of had some issues command and control over 2019 and 2020 at the alt site. There's some mechanical issues there as well, but those are all pretty much behind him. Like I mentioned in my article where I mentioned him as a pitching project on the rise, I feel comfortable slapping like a 50 grade on both his command and control. So still not great, but definitely good enough. And this, he's got a really, really good arsenal that's really been overpowering. Plus fastball, sits in mid-90s, can get up in the upper 90s. Good finishing life on that. Big curveball, but it's a plus curveball with a lot of depth to it. Also mixes in the slider and a changeup, which are, I think, at least average offerings, both of which, you know, can flash above average in any given start. So this is a really good four-pitch mix with really, really good two-pitch combo there with that fastball, curveball. And Texas has become, you know, a more of a pitching park over the last, you know, 5 years or so. So that's something that gives me some more confidence as well. So definitely one on the rise here. He's in my top 100 now. And so is Ryan Pepiot. Like, upside might not be quite as high on Pepiot, but there's a good mid-90s fastball there. Really good changeup. He's kind of like similar to a Jackson Coar, but I think a bit better, where it's fastball, really good changeup. You know, the breaking ball kind of lags behind, but I think he's got at least an average breaking ball. So, and he's in the Dodgers. Like, we've talked about that before, how this one of the top-notch orgs in baseball. That's why, you know, another guy that kind of was on the rise, Landon Knack from that org. He's got a ridiculous strikeout-to-walk ratio right now, one of the best in the minor leagues. So that's another guy I like. And then Dax Fulton, you talk about, like, projection here. Dax Fulton, 6'7 lefty. First off, you hear the term 6'7 lefty or whatever, 6'8 lefty. You know, Dax Fulton is all about projection here. Good fastball that can even, I think he's still got a lot of projection on his frame. So he's a guy that I think can tick up. And maybe, you know, he's still very young too. Like, he's still only 20 years old. So I think this is a guy that could be he's not even 20 yet. He'll be 20 in a couple months in October. But I think there's still some projection there. Not a ton. He's already 225, not a ton, but it looks like a skinnier 225, but if he adds more bulk a little bit, yeah, I think he can be a guy that sits like 96, 97 and can touch the upper registers. He's got a big breaking ball. Now, his last few starts, he's been absolutely dominant, basically not allowing any contact at all. You know, double-digit strikeouts in each of the last two outings here. So he's really finding his groove now. Assuming he only had 8 strikeouts his last start, but still, last two starts combined, 10 innings, one hit in each, 0 walks, 18 Ks. So he's really finding his footing there. Stuff is very good. Like I mentioned, this could be I don't know if I want to go as high as a number 2 starter, but maybe a number 3 starter with a lot of strikeouts. This could be an elite strikeout arm with the stuff he has, you know, with the big, you know, fastball, curveball from the left side. So really like, and like, again, he's in Miami. We feel like we talk about more Miami arms every week. It's just an embarrassment of riches there. So another one here that you can probably, you look at the overall numbers and, you know, the ERA and whip right now sit at 430 and 136 respectively. So you kind of look at those and like, meh. But at the same time, like, just look at Dax Fulton pitch, and it's easy to see that this is an arm squarely on the rise here. So definitely go out and target Dax Fulton while you can, because I think his price tag is going to go way up here moving forward. Any other names here you wanted to hit on, Chris, before we get out of here?
I think that looks good. I think we hit on plenty.
Yeah, a lot of good names here. We hope everyone enjoyed it. That is going to wrap us up here. Thank you to everyone for listening again this week. We hope everyone enjoyed it. You can follow us on Twitter. I am at EricCross04. Chris is at RotoClegg. And our show is at Fantrax Toolshed. And of course, check out all of our written work at FantraxHQ.com or over on our Patreon. Make sure to tune in again next week for more Dynasty and Prospect Talk. But until then, everyone take care.
Yeah. Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.